Okay. This is a new recording of the book Theosophy by Rudolf Steiner. It is, in a sense, the 30th anniversary of my first reading of this. And I'll begin with the introduction. In the autumn of 1813, the German philosopher Johann Gottlieb Fichte published his title Science of Knowledge, the mature fruit of a lifetime wholly dedicated to the service of truth. At the very beginning of this work, he wrote, quote, "This doctrine presupposes the existence of a quite new inner sensory instrument through which a new world is opened up, a world that simply does not exist for the ordinary person." Close quote. Fichte then showed by means of a comparison how incomprehensible this doctrine would be to anyone who insists on judging it on the basis of what our ordinary senses present. Quote, "Imagine a world of people all born blind. They can only know about the existence and interrelationships of things that exist for the sense of touch. If you talk to them about colors and about other relationships that exist only through light and the sense of sight, you might as well be saying nothing at all. If you are lucky, they will inform you of this fact so that you notice your error and can at least refrain from further useless talk if you prove incapable of opening their eyes." Close quote. Footnote number 1. Johann Gottlieb Fichte, 1762-1814, from title Introductory Lectures on the Theory of Science, Transcendental Logic, and the Facts of Consciousness, close quote, given at the University of Berlin, 1812-1813, published posthumously by I. H. Fichte in 1834. End of footnote. All too often, someone trying to talk to people about things such as those mentioned by Fichte is in a position similar to that of a seeing person among the blind. Yet it is precisely these things that are of relevance to the true nature and highest goals of human beings, and anyone who really believed it necessary to, quote, refrain from further useless talk, close quote, would have to give up on humanity in despair. But we must not doubt for a single moment that it is possible to open the eyes of any person who responds to these things with goodwill. This has always been the assumption of people who wrote and spoke out of feeling their own, quote, inner sensory instrument, close quote, maturing within them, and were thus able to recognize the true nature of the human being, which is hidden from the outer senses. This is why a hidden wisdom has been spoken of since time immemorial. Those who have grasped something of this hidden wisdom are as secure in their possession of it as people with normal eyes are in their ability to visualize color. Thus they need no proof of it. They also know that no proof is needed for anyone whose higher sense, like their own, has been opened. They can speak to such a person, such as a traveler might speak about a foreign country, to people who have never been there personally, but who can imagine it, because they would see the very same things given the opportunity. However, those capable of observing the super-sensible world should speak not only to spiritual researchers, but to everyone, since what they have to tell concerns each one of us. In fact, they know that without some knowledge of these things, no one can be human in the true sense of the word. They speak to all of us, knowing that what they have to say will be met with varying degrees of understanding, but also knowing that since a feeling for the truth and the ability to understand it are present in every human being, even those who are still far from being able to conduct spiritual research on their own may be able to respond with understanding. This understanding, which can light up in any healthy human soul, is what spiritual researchers address first, and they know that it has a power that must gradually lead to the higher stages of knowledge. This feeling for truth stirs in the darkness. Although it may at first see absolutely nothing of what is described, it is the magician who opens, quote, the eye of the spirit, close quote. The soul does not yet see, but this feeling allows the power of truth to take hold of it, so that truth then gradually draws near the soul and opens its higher sense. This may take more time or less, depending on the individual, but anyone with patience and perseverance will reach this goal. For although not every person born physically blind can be successfully operated on, every spiritual eye, EYE, can be opened. When it will be opened is simply a question of time. Neither academic learning nor scientific training is a prerequisite for opening this higher sense. It can open up for a naive and uneducated person as readily as for a renowned scientist. In fact, what is nowadays often considered the one and only science is more likely to be a hindrance than a help on the way to this goal, because it characteristically accepts as quote-unquote real only what is accessible to our ordinary senses. However great the successes of science in understanding sense-perceptible reality may be, when it takes what is both necessary and beneficial in its own realm as the standard for all human knowledge, it creates a profusion of prejudices that block our access to higher realities. The objection is often raised that human knowledge has been set, quote, insurmountable limits, close quote, once and for all, which cannot be transcended, and any knowledge that disregards them must be rejected out of hand. Anyone who claims such knowledge is considered highly presumptuous. This objection totally fails to take into account the fact that higher knowledge can come about only if a development of human cognitive powers precedes it. What lies outside the limits of human knowledge prior to this development lies well within them once the faculties that lie dormant in each individual have been awakened. One point should not be overlooked, however. We could ask what good it does to talk to people about things for which their cognitive faculties are not yet awakened and that are therefore inaccessible to them. However, this is not the right way to look at the issue. We do need certain faculties in order to discover the kinds of things we are talking about. But if these ideas, once discovered, are shared and made known to others, they can be understood by anyone willing to apply impartial logic and a healthy feeling for the truth. To individuals who allow open, unbiased thinking and an unhampered independent feeling for the truth to work freely within them, this book presents only things that offer a satisfying and convincing approach to the riddles of human life and the phenomena of the world around us. Ask yourselves this question. If the statements made in this book are true, do they offer a convincing explanation of life? You will find that the life of every human being offers confirmation that they do. In order to be a quote-unquote teacher in these higher regions of existence, however, having acquired the faculty for perceiving them is not enough. Systematic knowledge belongs here as much as it does to the profession of teaching on the level of ordinary reality. Quote, higher seeing, close quote, does not make a person a knower in the spirit any more than healthy senses make a scholar in sense-perceptible reality. But in truth, all reality is one. Since the lower reality and the higher spiritual reality are merely two sides of one and the same fundamental unity of being, a person who is ignorant with regard to lower knowledge will probably remain similarly ignorant of higher things. This basic fact calls up a feeling of boundless responsibility in those who, through a spiritual calling, feel obliged to speak out about spiritual regions of existence. It impresses on them the need for humility and restraint. It should not, however, discourage anyone from looking into higher truths, not even someone whose everyday life offers no opportunity to study the ordinary sciences. It is quite possible to fulfill our tasks as human beings without understanding anything about botany, zoology, mathematics, or other sciences, but it is not possible to be, quote, human, close quote, in the fullest sense of the word, without coming closer in some way to the essential nature and destiny of the human being as revealed through knowledge of the supersensible world. As human beings, we call the highest thing we can look up to, quote, the divine, close quote. And we must imagine that our highest aim and calling have something to do with this divine element. This may well be why wisdom that transcends the sense-perceptible world, that reveals to us both our essential nature and our destiny, is called theosophy, or, quote, divine wisdom, close quote. The name, quote, spiritual science, close quote, can be given to the observation of spiritual processes in human life and in the cosmos. If, as has been done in this book, we extract from spiritual science the phenomena pertaining especially to the essential spiritual core of the human being, then we can use the term theosophy for this particular subject area, since it has been applied in this sense for centuries. The above viewpoint provided the basis for developing this outline of the theosophical worldview. Its author has included nothing that is not fact and reality for him, in the same sense that events in the outer world are facts and realities for our eyes, ears, and ordinary understanding. Here, we are dealing with experiences that become accessible to anyone determined to set off on the path to knowledge described in the last chapter of this book. We approach the things of the supersensible world with a right attitude, if we take it as a given that sound thinking and perception are capable of understanding all true knowledge that can flow toward us from the higher worlds. We should also recognize that by taking this kind of understanding as our starting point and laying a firm foundation with it, we are taking a great and important first step toward higher seeing for ourselves, although other things must also contribute if we are to achieve this goal. However, if we scorn this approach and try to reach the higher worlds by other means alone, we bar the door to true higher knowledge. If, on principle, we admit the existence of higher worlds only once we have seen them for ourselves, this in itself is an obstacle to ever being able to see them. But being determined to use sound thinking to understand first what we will later be able to observe actually fosters this seeing. It summons up important forces of the soul that lead to this seership. The end of the introduction to Theosophy.